I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match.
Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Show. This is Chris Ann Hall. Okay, I know I don't sound like myself this morning. A little hoarse. I don't know. It's all the traveling. We are on a leg of the Liberty Tour, and today I am very excited and, may I admit to you, a little nervous. Today I am doing something so very important. I was invited by Sheriff Scott London of Eddy County, New Mexico, to teach his deputies today and his staff. And I do not take this lightly. This is a very, very important thing. And I don't want to be responsible for messing it up. So my prayer this morning is going to be, God, give me the words that I need to say. And if I say something wrong, fix it in their ears. Don't let them hear anything that I'm not supposed to say. And I believe by faith that God can do just that. And I'm excited about that. That's what today's show is about. What every sheriff, every deputy, what every peace officer should know. And I'm sort of using you all as guinea pigs to help my, make me feel better about what I'm about to teach and what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be doing a whole lot more today with the sheriffs than I'm able to do on the show. But these are some important points that I want to make sure that we touch upon. Now, there is something nationally going on that I want to talk about before we get into that. We need to get on to our senators about the confirmation of Loretta Lynch, Attorney General. And we need to hold them accountable. Remember, we have a Republican Senate majority now. Loretta Lynch does not have to be confirmed. The woman is going to support Barack Obama in everything that he does. She made that perfectly clear in her little interview. You can't even call it a hearing, really. Interview, when only a couple people actually ask her tough questions, and even the Republicans are throwing softballs at her. I don't know if they can call it a hearing. It's actually just a little mini interview to see if, check the boxes. We had our little hearing, and now we'll follow tradition and give the president who he wants, because if you break tradition, then when the Republican president picks his or her attorney general, then guess what you get? Opposition. So it's you pat my back, I'll pat yours, and we'll be happy in our little power vacuum, right? And so here's what you want to do. I'm going to give you the phone number to the Senate Judiciary Committee, and I want you to call the Senate Judiciary Committee and put them on record with you. How are you going to vote? And so the number is area code 202-224-7703. Register your concerns. Tell them, we do not want her. She is not going to be Eric Holder light, okay? This is just a facade, okay? She is already admitting to you that she is going to do everything that Eric Holder already did. She's going to admit that to you. And if she's going to be transparent about that, can you imagine what she's going to do that she's not going to be transparent about? Amnesty. She's all for amnesty. She says that everyone in this country, regardless of how they got here, has a right to work. That's false on like 2 points, okay? You don't have a right to work. You have an opportunity to work. But if you are here illegally, then you are illegal and you don't have the right or the opportunity to anything but to be sent back from where you came. Now, so call the Senate Judiciary Committee today, 202-224-7703, and tell them you do not want her. She has also openly admitted that she is in favor of partial birth abortion. She actually signed on to the Planned Parenthood amicus brief that wanted the courts to rule in favor of partial birth abortions. Now, I don't know how you feel about abortion. I don't know how you feel about terminating life. That is irrelevant at this point. When a baby is born, partially, how do you define partial, okay? Well, that's going to be left to the courts, isn't it? Partial. If the baby is big enough to be born and you kill it, that is murder. I don't care how you define everything before that. We can have discussion about that. You're not going to change my mind. I'm probably not going to change your mind. The bottom line is this. If the baby is old enough to be born and you are severing its spinal cord after it's born, that is murder. How much is born? I don't know. You're calling it partial birth. Okay? The very terminology proves that it's being born, which means no way. No way. Murder. And she wants to fight so that doctors like Gosnell can murder babies. And there are so many other things. This woman is not interested in anything that is constitutional, anything that is moral, and anything that is right. And so call the Senate Judiciary Committee and tell them, no, we don't want this. You represent us, and we do not want this. Now, then call your senator. Call your senators, both of them. Go ahead. They represent your state. They're not divided by district. Two senators represent your state. Call them both and say, look, if you confirm this woman, you are personally responsible for everything that she does. And we will hold you personally accountable. See, that's what these people need to realize. That when they confirm these people, it's like an employer hiring an employee. And when an employer hires an employee, that employer is responsible, even vicariously, for everything that that employee does. Especially in this circumstance, when the employee has been so forthcoming with her beliefs and her stance and what she will and will not do. Which means these senators will be knowingly confirming someone who will not follow the Constitution, who will not follow the will of the Senate, who will not follow the voice of the Congress, who will not abide by the supreme law of the land, or, for that matter, any law written by Congress that she just simply doesn't agree with. Which means that every senator, and this is very, very important, every senator that confirms Loretta Lynch is responsible personally for everything that she does. So it is absolutely, without a doubt, indisputable that Eric Holder is guilty of murder. And every senator that confirmed Eric Holder is liable for those decisions. Now we're going to give them a benefit of the doubt. They got up there ignorant. We didn't inform them. No more ignorance. No more passes. No more tolerance. It is time for us to stand up and say, look, if you vote for this woman, you will be responsible for every decision that she makes. You are her employer. You know everything about her. And if you vote for her, you confirm her, you are responsible for her negligence, and you are a negligent supervisor. So one more time, the Senate Judiciary Committee meeting committee's phone number is, oops, my screen just went dark. Don't you hate when that happens? The Senate Judiciary Committee phone number is 202-224-7703. call them and tell them no more. No way. We will not support you if you support her. And then call your senators and let them know that you will hold them personally responsible for everything that she does if they confirm her. That's just how important this is. You know, this is how important your voice is. We have allowed these people in Washington, D.C. to operate for so long without real, earnest input that they believe that they're unaccountable. They believe that they can do whatever they want and there is no accountability. And for some people, we have proven that to be true. But I think we're starting to change. We're starting to realize that we can't have security over liberty. We can't allow our political parties to rule over us. And that we need to stand for truth, even when it indicts our favorite people. Some of that is a little hard to let go, I understand. But we are waking up, we are learning, and we are beginning to understand. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over our favorite personalities. Some of those are going to be hard to let go, I understand. Understand the need for hope. But we will never have real true hope, we will never have a real true future until we absolutely stand firm on these principles and we say, no more. We're the ones that are going to have to take a stand. We have already proven, our Congress has already proven, that the Attorney General is above the law. Eric Holder is guilty of murder and he should be in prison, and Congress did nothing. So why would Loretta Lynch have anything to fear from Congress? Why would she enter into this position thinking that she has any accountability to them whatsoever? This committee hearing, this confirmation hearing is a joke. And it's time for us to realize that it's Congress that's laughing. The Obama administration is laughing. And the joke is on us. But we can change that. Because we are the people. And we are a government of the people, by the people, for the people. And it's time to remove our consent.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
What should every sheriff, what should every deputy, what should every peace officer know? Well, we're going to talk about three amendments in the Bill of Rights. I'm looking at the First Amendment, and there are five liberties in the First Amendment, so my brain got a little confused for a second. We are going to talk about three aspects of the Bill of Rights this morning. The first thing that every law enforcement officer, I have to break that habit for me, don't I? I'm trying to break that habit for you, but I want to break it for me too first, right? Every sheriff, every deputy, every peace officer should know is the First Amendment. The First Amendment contains five individual liberties: freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom to assemble, and the freedom to petition the government for a redress of your grievances. Five. Now, I don't know how many of those you could have named before I told you what they were, but this is very important. These are the things that you must know. Freedom of religion. You have the right to believe anything that you want. You have the right to believe or not to believe. And you have the right to practice your beliefs as long as you're not murdering someone, right? There are certain limitations. You cannot use religion to justify abuse, murder, neglect, These things that we have criminal laws against, you cannot use religion to justify them. But you have a right to believe what you want, and you have the right to practice any religion that you happen to choose, and the government can do nothing to stop you. And that's where we are. The government can do nothing to stop you. So what do? We believe what we want to believe. We act upon our beliefs within the limitations of the law. And as long as we are not hurting someone else, the government can do nothing to stop us in our beliefs. And I say that just this way because there is such this movement today about outlawing Islam. You cannot outlaw Islam. How do you outlaw Islam? Islam is a belief system. A belief system. You're going to make it illegal to believe something? And who are you going to give the power to enforce that law? I mean, you want the government to be able to stop you on the street and ask you what you believe? Do you want the government to stop you on the way into church and ask you what you believe and then arrest you based on your beliefs because we've made something to believe illegal? Islam cannot be made illegal. You cannot outlaw a belief. When someone acts on those beliefs in an illegal way, that's when you can act. So if you use your belief in Islam to justify murdering your child, that doesn't work because murder is against the law. And now you can prosecute someone for murder. If you use your belief in Islam to torture someone or mutilate someone or abuse someone, then guess what? You will be prosecuted for that torture, for that mutilation, and for that abuse. We will not be arresting you for what you believe. We will be arresting you for how you act. And freedom of religion says you have the right to believe whatever you choose. And the government cannot prosecute you for your beliefs. Freedom of speech. We don't need the First Amendment to protect popular speech. Your First Amendment speech is there to protect unpopular speech. And if you are not exercising your First Amendment, you're not saying something every day that makes somebody mad, that's unpopular, then you're not preserving this right. Liberty cannot be preserved without the right to speak and to speak those things that not everybody wants to hear. The Supreme Court struck down an ordinance as unconstitutionally discriminating based on the content of the expression. Government cannot outlaw content of expression. And that's what freedom of speech is about. And the other part is, you don't need government approval to have freedom of speech. The government cannot approve or disapprove of what you say. That's the whole point. We're just on number two. So let's start talking about liberty today so we can preserve it. I was born for this, and some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, because she filled me with love and the strength to live. She said,
the Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment. What every sheriff, every deputy, every peace officer should know. We've already covered freedom of religion and freedom of speech, but what about freedom of press? The Freedom of Press Clause protects the right of individuals to express themselves through publication and dissemination of information, ideas, and opinions without interference, constraint, or prosecution by the government. You can start your own blog, your own radio show, And you can use your First Amendment free speech to express yourself. Now look, let's be very clear about something. You do not have constitutional rights. You do not have constitutionally protected rights. The Constitution grants you nothing. The Constitution simply identifies these liberties in the public eye as being inalienable. Whether they're written down or not, they're still inalienable. They're still your rights because they are gifted to you, as our framer said, by the laws of nature and of nature's God. And we have these rights independent of government recognition. And this is what we need to know. You do not have constitutionally protected rights. The Constitution protects nothing. The Constitution cannot pick up a pen and write your representative a letter. The Constitution cannot sit in your senator's office and demand compliance, and the Constitution cannot pick up a sword if it ever comes, God forbid, time to defend our liberty the way Jefferson thought should be necessary every 20 years. Because the bottom line is this, the Constitution is a piece of paper with ink on it, and it cannot protect anything. And the only protector of your rights is you. The only protector of your children's rights is you. And if you do not know what your rights are, if you're not actively expressing them, you don't have them, and neither does your child. Freedom of press doesn't mean that you have to have, as Nancy Pelosi says, bona fide credentials. Are you seriously kidding me? Bona fide credentials? That's what Nancy Pelosi said. We need protection of those with bona fide credentials. We don't need to protect the press of those. She said of some 17-year-old who hasn't even graduated from high school yet. That woman is so fundamentally offensive to everything within my spirit. I don't know that I could be cordial if I ever met her. I really don't. I would probably be a very bad representation of Christianity if I ever ran into Nancy Pelosi. It wouldn't work out well. Because she is so fundamentally evil. And I don't know, when Jesus cast the demons out of people, I don't remember him sitting down and having dinner with them and discussing the fundamental nature of their demonhood and trying to convert their demonism. I remember him casting them out and telling them to be gone. So, you know what, that's what I might do to Nancy Pelosi. I'll just simply cast her out and tell her to be gone from my presence because I cannot handle the evilness of her in front of me. And she is responsible for her own behavior. She's classified herself. Same with Dick Durbin. Dick Durbin on Fox says, what is press? We know Fox is press, we know AP is press, but are bloggers press, are tweeters press? He says, we need to ask 21st century questions about a document that was written 200 years ago. And you know, there was a really sad thing is I don't remember a really big pushback from Fox about this classification. Well, why not? Because they've already been classified by Dick Durbin as press. They have nothing to fear. It's your bloggers and your tweeters that have something to fear. Those people without those bona fide credentials. You know, the bottom line is this. It's the First Amendment. It declares something that is mine without the government's permission. I don't need the government's permission to disseminate what I and publish what I believe, no matter the medium or the form. That's the whole point. The freedom to assemble. You and your friends have the right to protest. In fact, did you know that arresting peaceful protesters for disobeying the order to leave is unconstitutional and police must protect protesters over safety? The Supreme Court gave an opinion that peaceful demonstrators may not be prosecuted for disorderly conduct. And the Supreme Court has said over and over again that streets and sidewalks are the traditional secured place for public forums, and that a free marketplace of ideas is essential to the liberty of the people. freedom to assemble, not just simply the right to protest, but the freedom to associate with people freely. And so you can't be held guilty by association. Well, there goes every gang law ever written, right? Guilt by association. You cannot be guilty by association. You should not have to look at your neighbor and wonder, does that person believe the right things? Can I associate with that person legally if they don't believe the right things? Now, you may spiritually ask yourself that question. Can I be yoked with this person spiritually based on their beliefs? But that question should never be one of a legal basis. Can I legally associate with someone? Because freedom to assemble is the freedom to freely associate. Maybe you want to help your neighbor see the error of his ways. Maybe you want to reach out to someone and help them be a better person. Well, if you don't have the freedom to associate and the freedom to assemble, then there is no hope to educate people who are in error. Government can tell you, oh, well, those people are terrorists. You can't associate with them. I'll remind you who the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice view as terrorists and how they're teaching our people in the Department of Defense to identify terrorists. Potential domestic terrorists are people who believe that the state is superior to the federal government, are the people who believe in liberty, and the people who identify government activity as tyrannical. People who are focused on single issues like abortion and immigration. These are all their words, not mine. And so if we can classify these people as terrorists and then make it illegal for you to associate with them, where do you fit in that category? Is it now illegal to have your neighbors associate with you? See something, say something. So you put out a yard sign that says liberty first. Well, that statement declares state sovereignty. That statement declares inalienable rights. That statement declares that government can't be tyrannical. And a simple statement like liberty first could be the tool to make it illegal for anybody to associate with you. See, these are these things that are supposed to be protected. James Madison said, we have a right in our property, but we have a property in our rights. And that the reason that government is instituted is to protect the property of the people. Which means not just simply your four corners of your lot, your car, your business. It means your rights. You have a property in your rights, and they have an obligation to protect it. Freedom to petition the government for a redress of your grievances. You have the right to complain about your government and to your government, and they cannot prosecute you or persecute you. That's what this is about. These are the things about the First Amendment that every government official who takes an oath must know. The bedrock principle underlying the First Amendment is that government may not prohibit the expression of any idea simply because society finds that idea itself offensive or disagreeable. Supreme Court, Texas v. Johnson, 1989. The Supreme Court struck down an ordinance as unconstitutionally discriminating based on the content of speech because in St. Paul, Minnesota, they passed an ordinance that banned hate speech. Do you know that the government cannot ban hate speech? An expression like burning a cross or a swastika might arouse anger, alarm, or resentment in others on the basis of race, color, religion, or gender, but this is what the First Amendment is about. Expressing yourself. RAV versus St. Paul, 1992. I don't want to see anybody burning crosses. I don't like the way a swastika has been used. I don't like discrimination. I don't like speech that is hateful. But when you allow the government to define those terms offensive and hateful, those things are different in different societies. And now speech is limited. Arresting and convicting or punishing protesters who are peacefully assembled, where there was no violence or threat of violence on their part, is a violation of free speech, free assembly, and the freedom to petition. Edwards v. South Carolina, 1963. Peaceful demonstrators may not be prosecuted for disorderly conduct. And streets and sidewalks are our public forums. Hague v. CIO, 1939. And this is a very important one, which applies to the second and fourth as well. Quote, to let a policeman's command become equivalent to criminal statute becomes dangerously near making our government one of men rather than laws. There are ample ways to protect the domestic tranquility without subjecting First Amendment freedoms to such clumsy, unyielding weapons. Officers must take all reasonable efforts to protect demonstrators. Gregory v. Chicago, 1969. This is what every police officer, every deputy, every sheriff must know about the First Amendment. Do you know it? Do you know it well enough to stand when you are faced with opposition? If you're not exercising your rights,
the Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Now, we have talked about the Second Amendment quite a bit on this show, and we have run up on the end. I think I need more than 38 minutes to do this, but I will have more than 38 minutes with the sheriff, but let's talk about this. Your right to keep and bear arms goes back much further than 1776. This is an inalienable right, and there is a very long, long history associated with the right to keep and bear arms that goes back further than the Bill of Rights. America's founders had their own Bill of Rights, the English Bill of Rights of 1689. James II sparked the Glorious Revolution by attempting to take away the people's guns. In 1641, Charles I was trying to disarm the people. It sparked a revolution that brought the Grand Remonstrance of 1641, and the grievance was, "You're disarming us." The founders gave us the Second Amendment to protect us from tyranny, not from hunting and sport shooting. Noah Webster said, before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword, because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of regular troops that can be on any pretense raised in the United States. You see, the whole point here is that you are supposed to be able to protect yourself from unconstitutional and unjust laws. Not from robbers and rapists. It's not about criminals. It's about when the government becomes criminal. And contrary to what we may believe, the Supreme Court has a history of supporting the right of the people to keep and bear arms. In 1939, in a case called U.S. v. Miller, the Supreme Court, in their opinion, said that if the military owns it, then the people have a right to own it as well. In District of Columbia v. Heller in 2008, the Supreme Court had the opinion that the Second Amendment protects an individual right to possess a firearm, unconnected with service in a militia, and to use that arm for traditional lawful purposes such as, and I quote, the natural right of resistance and self-preservation. a natural right to resistance and self-preservation. That applies even when the government is coming after you. Your rights are not granted by the government, and so they can't take them away. Samuel Adams wrote, among the natural rights of the colonists are these: first, a right to life; second, liberty; thirdly, to property, together with the right to support and defend them in the best manner they can. Your rights are yours, inalienable. Not a gift of government, but a gift from God. If you don't know what your rights are, you can't defend them. And if you can't stand for them in the face of government opposition, if you cannot take an educated stand, then they're already gone. We're not going to have time to get into the Fourth Amendment in detail, so I want to make sure that you know that you can find all of this on my website, chrisannhall.com. As a matter of fact, there are flyers that you can print out, one-page flyers on the First, Second, and Fourth Amendments with a training video that goes with each flyer. Send them out. Use them. Keep them with you. Pass them out. Send people to the training videos. Because you see, if we're not expressing our rights, we don't have them. We're not defending them. And if we're not expressing and defending our rights, if we're not prepared to defend our rights, then our children don't have them either. And that's what this is all about, isn't it? That's what the Constitution says, to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. How hard is it to get educated? Three simple flyers, three simple videos. Share them and spread the news, spread the truth, so that we can be a responsible generation that leaves a legacy of liberty. Hand them out to your sheriffs and your police chiefs. Why don't you have them invite me to come and teach them? We're using the Eddy County as a guinea pig. I'll be much better the next time. I just want to help. Because I want my child to have a liberty, a greater liberty than I have today. That's how it's supposed to work. Liberty is supposed to expand and grow and not be stifled and suffocated by government. God bless. See you then. We came to light.